Today is Tuesday, June 19th, and I hereby welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT, and I'm the host of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm back once again after an even longer hiatus this time, and a lot has happened in the world of esports over this time span. Today, however, we will talk about what happened at ESL1 Belo Horizonte, the CSGO Asia Championships, and DreamHack Open Summer 2018. At the end, we will maybe find time for a few comments on the newest acquisition made by Fnatic. From Wednesday until Sunday, the ESL1 had a tour stop in Belo Horizonte in Brazil. And eight of the finest teams of Counter-Strike fought about the prize money distribution of $200,000. In the end, it was FaZe with yet another stand-in who came out victorious. And they're right now the only team that's still eligible for the Inter Grand Slam, if I recall that correctly, because they now have three out of the four tournament wins needed. And I don't know if I'm right about this, but IM Shanghai is, I think, the last tournament that is still part of the Inter Grand Slam, but I don't know if I'm right about that or not, but I think that this is the case. However, yesterday I've been able to get a grip on the VODs of both the final and the semifinals, and many talking points came out of these games and the tournament in general, in my opinion, and I will just go through them rather unchronologically, but I hope you can bear with me here. I actually watched the final before I watched the semis. And as FaZe were on the CT side on Inferno at the very start of the series, I thought to myself that Nico should definitely get rid of the AWP rather quickly, as he hadn't really convinced me of it or on it in these rounds. But this changed rather dramatically as the best of five went on. He had many great rounds and important kills, being the secondary AWP at times, especially on Cage and Dust 2. And well, not only because of those rounds did he receive the MVP award afterwards. In many of the rounds, he did show why he's the most important, or he can be the most important player on FaZe. In my opinion, he played a bit below his skill level for some time now, but it is nice to see him back in form. This was even more the case in the semis versus Team Liquid, in my opinion. Someone else who knew how to perform when it mattered was Chroma, the stand-in for FaZe in this tournament. Specifically on Mirage, both against Liquid and Mousesports, he proved that he can hang with the best in many pistol rounds. The Norwegian connection, as I like to call them, Rain and Chroman, gave FaZe a huge boost going into the sides and into the first rounds of each side. Yeah, Guardian also warrants a mention, at least a mention. His play versus Team Liquid on Nuke was insane. 25 kills to 9 deaths, 110 ADR, and an insane 2.00 rating. He just dominated Team Liquid with ease, whichever way he wanted to, and it really was truly his playground during the course of the map. When talking about FaZe in general, it is also something that is mentioned a lot, or that I have mentioned a lot. There's no team like FaZe when it comes to dependency on hitting shots. The good thing for them is that they have players that make it happen more often than not. On the other hand, however, sometimes FaZe seem to lack a bit of the foundational work when other teams seem to have an advantage over them, which they simply shouldn't have. A team of FaZe's caliber shouldn't have these weaknesses, or shouldn't give these edges to the opposing teams. Well, of course, constantly having to accommodate a stand-in may explain a bit of that away, but still I think Kerrigan is partly to blame for that too as an in-game leader. And I think that is a reason for the rather high volatility in FaZe's play, which in my opinion is higher than other top teams in the history of Counter-Strike, or you can see that with Astralis as well. But now on to FaZe's opponents in the final, Mousesports. They also had a play with a stand-in, just like FaZe, because Oscar was unavailable for this event. But similarly to Chroma and Nothing, they did a good job, in my opinion, well, until the final versus FaZe. There, he kind of showed maybe not being completely in tune with being on that big of a stage anymore, at least. And also, although I'm not really a fan of singling out players in a negative sense, I thought that Sunny often seemed overwhelmed in most of the rounds, even more so on Inferno. But on the other hand, it was Chris J who really impressed me throughout the whole series. He had great showings everywhere, but I thought that especially on Dust 2, it was obvious that he tried to LeBron James mouse of the title, but face was too much at that point. Exemplary for that was round 19 on Dust 2, where Chris J went on to get a 4K, but Ren in the end clutched it out in a 1v2 to win the round. This final, in my opinion, moving on to another point, also showed a continuing trend where Mouse Sports, aka the best team in the world on Mirage, seems to lose its grip on that map. While it used to be almost synonymous with a victory in the past, in the last few weeks they were beaten on it rather convincingly. I remember Na'Vi beating them on it, which was kind of out of the blue, or maybe not out of the blue, but not really something that was to be expected. But now the same happened versus FaZe. And on the other hand, however, throughout the whole tournament, it was Train that Mouse seemed to be more comfortable on, especially their T side. Talking about the finals now, was very cohesive and they were able to win the most important rounds. And maybe this is a map that they kind of are able to switch out instead of Mirage, where they can improve on Train rather even more so and get it to be their pocket pick or their best map in the map pool, in the current map pool. Finishing up the ESL1 event, just a few words on another semifinalist. Team Liquid had a great few weeks with being second at both ESL Pro League 7, Season 7 Finals and the ECS Season 5 Finals. And they start to get into the groove of their new roster a bit more now. I also talked about them, when I talked about them in early episodes, I also talked about them needing a bit more time and being a project and maybe trusting the process with them. And well, it looks like they kind of proved me right. However, I think that they still need more time in order to reach the level they have the capabilities to reach. On Dust 2 in the semis, they're, well, inexperience, I'll just use inexperience for the lack of a better word, showed in some of these rounds, even though they were able to close it out in the end. This is very important. I believe that they would have been able to close it out even earlier. And this is a good example of them needing more time to get even more comfortable into their team play and into their cohesion. Like I said, I don't think that this is necessarily the end of the road for them in terms of improvement. After getting 2 second places now, like I said, and now dropping out in the semifinal, I would actually guess that they will be able to win an international tournament in the next few months if they put in even more work in order to improve even more, get more cohesion, get more team play, get more security into their, or like confidence into their play. And I would actually bank on it that they will be able to win yet another tournament with the new roster, or win the first tournament with the new roster, actually, because Taco wasn't around when they won CS Summit 2. But yeah, there are some closing thoughts about Team Liquid. In parallel to ESL One Belo Horizonte, Shanghai hosted the CSGO Asia Championships, where Na'Vi was able to win yet another tournament after Star Ladder Season 5. I remember that right after DreamHack Masters in Marseille, Simple talked to HLTV and spoke about believing in the team and them that he had around him right now, and that they were going to do more. That was a quote. And it was right after the negotiations of Flamey and Simple going to SK, and after they broke down and all of that that screw up. But well, they have delivered since then. They went to the semis of the ESL Pro League Season 7 finals, and now, like I said, won two titles in a row, Starladder and now the CSGO Asia Championships. Talking about Simple himself, however, he seemed to have cooled down a bit on the home stretch of the tournament, in the semis versus Envyas and in the finals versus Virtus Pro. Others had to take the reins to get Na'Vi to the victory, namely Edward and I believe Flamie in the final, who had very good showing in the final. Well, before though, in the first encounter versus Envy and versus Ninjas in Pyjamas, he was who we knew him to be or who we know him to be. The final itself was rather boring though, and we had three very decisive map wins with the scores of 16-3, 4-16, and 16-6. But now moving on to the finals opponent, Virtus Pro, however, for them, that as well as the whole tournament was a huge step up for them. Well, they kind of went from losing MDL matches versus legit amateur teams to now beating teams like Tyloo and Heroic. And like I said, they also took a map off of Na'Vi. And it was Bialy especially who stepped up in most of these maps in course of the tournament. But the whole team had a rather good showing throughout the whole tournament, like I said. And well, the next big showing will be on the biggest next big sh the next showing on the rather bigger stage will be, funnily enough, back in Shanghai when the Intel Extreme Masters come to town. And it'll be interesting to see which VP will show up there and which VP will actually show up in between, because like I said, they went from losing MDL matches versus amateur teams, real amateur teams, in between. And now it will be interesting to see it. It also has been the case with Virtus Pro that I don't know if there are motivational issues or things like that, but in online matches they haven't really been able to show what they are capable of. And yeah, we'll see how this plays out in the next 6 weeks until after IEM Shanghai. Next up, just a few words on the DreamHack Open Summer 2018, taking place in the infamous Jönköping in Sweden. First of all, I read the statement on Twitter, and I have to agree that it's really awesome that the scene can have three tournaments of that caliber going on at the same time. One, of course, was a bit more important than the others, but the other two are nothing to sneeze at either. But now onto the tournament itself. And it somewhat kicked off with the Renegades crashing and burning out of the tournament after great performances against higher caliber opponents of Counter-Strike in the last few weeks and months. They got wrecked by Complexity and Gambit, of all teams. And, well, it definitely is back to the drawing board for them, or back to the drawing board time for them after performances like these. Onto another team, just like Virtus Pro in Shanghai, North was able to rack a few wins together, although they were 2-1 victories over teams like Red Reserve and Aghost Esports. It maybe is a bit of a confidence builder for them. Also, looking at the semifinals, where they faced off against Optic, and they took a map off of them first of all, and then went into double overtime on the third and deciding map on Train, which will be worth even more for them, just seeing that they kind of went 50-50 against a team like Optic, who well, of course, are in the beginning stages, but it's a team that they should be able to compete against, and well, it looks like they can compete against them. And this actually brings me to the end already. Optic, who I mentioned before, walked through to the final with relative ease, aside from that nail biter in the end versus North. But there, they faced off against Imperial, who had a great showing themselves in Jönköping in Tours at the last DreamHack Open stop a few weeks ago, I believe. Imperial went 0-3 in maps and went out in groups without making any noise. But this time around, they did very well, especially in the final versus Optic, where they won 2-0. And thereby, they finished the tournament without dropping even a map. And they added German player Crystal just about 2 weeks ago, I believe, 2.5 weeks ago, I guess. And it will be interesting to see if this new set of five, we'll be able to use to just build up momentum and keep up the good performances in the future. And now to close out this episode, we have a recurring segment, I guess, talking about Fnatic and roster changes. And 3 weeks ago, in the last episode of this podcast, I said, and I'll quote this right here, I don't think I'm swinging for the fences here when I predict that this will not have been the last roster move Fnatic will have done in the near future. And, well, I really wasn't swinging for the fences there. This was when Exist joined Fnatic after his stint with FaZe, and in the meantime, Lecro, who got ousted from Fnatic, joined NIP to replace Draken. Well, this is kind of like, this is kind of a lot to follow in this sentence, but I think that if you're listening to this podcast that you already know that anyway, so you got all of that right, I believe. He, now talking about Draken again, in turn now replaces Golden on Fnatic, who just got moved from the in-game leader position to the entry fragger position. But to be quite honest, a lot of people actually expected him to be replaced like that, and they were right to do so. Especially when Exist mentioned that JW wasn't too content with being the main AWP in Fnatic. He said that in an interview, I believe, after the ECS Season 5 finals. It was the JW said that he doesn't want to be the main AWP all the time. So with signing Draken, who is the main AWP, kind of hit two birds with one stone. However, and this is a big drawback, and I think that I'm talking about this a lot, and I've talked about that a lot in the last few weeks and months. If you listen back to the earlier episodes of this podcast, maybe I'm just oblivious to what happened, but I can't really get behind these roster shuffles in Fnatic. They won both IEM Katowice and WESG 2017 finals, and they raked in a lot of money by doing that, just sticking with each other and putting on performances. Well, admittedly, the other teams were in a bit of a slump at the time, but nevertheless, they did win these tournaments. It's not like the others lost it for them. Fnatic had great showings. I remember Flusher being insane on IEM at IEM Katowice, and like I said, they did win these tournaments. Well, personal differences are often quoted when talking about these issues, and they were actually they talked about that even before these wins with Golden being replaced because of internal issues or something like this. But this is actually the point, that they actually had these internal issues. They kind of moved on from them, or made sure they don't affect team play or gameplay, and they won these two tournaments in spite of there being internal issues or personal differences. And talking about that now, it would be really of interest to me to actually find out what exactly happens in a team like that, that they are not able to move past these issues to return to focusing on the performances that got them their titles, especially in that short of a time frame. Like, IEM Katowice was just 3 months ago, and WESG was even after that. So it's I don't know. I think it's insane that teams like that give up on themselves so early, especially after having had these insane performances. Well, after that, of course, they weren't really able to replicate them, but well, they were able to do that to do them in the first place. But I don't know. With all of that said, now they can prove to me and to everyone else. They don't really have to prove anything to me, but they can prove it to me that these moves were needed. Just like Na'Vi, Fnatic will also attend ESL 1 Cologne, which starts in exactly 2 weeks. And well, I'm very interested to see how Fnatic will perform with the new roster. And with that, we arrived at the end of this week's episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. If you want to voice your opinion about this podcast, I would really appreciate a rating on iTunes or pretty much wherever you are listening to this right now. Any kind of feedback would be highly appreciated. Finally, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!